Hi, everybody. It's Michael Martin from martinchronicle.com and various blogs around the Internet. My guest today is Anthony Scaramucci. He's founder and managing partner of Skybridge Capital, and he's the host of the annual SALT Conference, which this year featured Bill Clinton as his keynote speaker. Anthony's the author of the new book entitled Goodbye, Gordon Gekko, How to Find Your Fortune Without Losing Your Soul. How you doing, Anthony?
I'm doing great, Michael. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, it's great. I was happy to see you at the Milken Institute, and you guys did a great job with SALT this year again. I've seen Skybridge on the tape a bunch of times recently. Some of it you might be able to talk of it, some of it you can't. Why don't you just fill everybody in real brief on what Skybridge has been working on since Milken?
So, well, you know, we recently acquired Citibank's business in their fund-to-fund side. So Citibank's in their Citibank Alternative Investment Management division had a several fund-to-funds and a pension advisory business, and we acquired those businesses in April. It was a hard-fought battle. There were a couple of other competitors that were bidding on the business. But once we've now integrated that business, Skybridge has $7.4 billion in capital. We have about $870 million in seeding, $5.5 billion in pension advisory, and then the rest is in core fund-to-funds. So I think we're about the 22nd largest fund-to-funds in the world now post-acquisition.
Quick question, ties into the book. Is an educated consumer your best customer?
Yeah, well, you see, that's interesting. That was directly related to my experience with Cy Sims. You know, I unfortunately didn't dress appropriately for my first job at Goldman Sachs, and my mentor, Michael Fascitelli, called me out on it. But yes, an educated consumer is my best customer.
I grew up watching those commercials in the 70s were best. Yeah. It's like having an uncle in the carpet business, Cy Sims.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you couldn't, you know, hey, Jerry, what's the story? You know, those were
well,
great.
You know, I was fashion deficient, to say the least. I was showing up at Goldman Sachs on my first job wearing polyester, and it's embarrassing to admit it today, but I thought it would be worthwhile to share with readers that, you know, it's about at least getting started, being willing to accept a lot of the mistakes that you make in life and calling yourself out on it. If you can't laugh at yourself, then you're not going to enjoy a lot of aspects of life, right? So I wanted to share that with the readers.
Those are the funniest stories. So let's set the stage. We're going to pick you up in high school.
Where,
you know, you've come a long way since Ghost Motorcycles, your uncle's firm. Let me set the stage. It's Friday night, January 9th, 1981 at 9 o'clock. You're in Harlem.
Yep.
What happened next?
Well, listen, that was one of the most terrorizing stories of my life up until that point. I was 17 years old. I just turned 17. I was driving a truck since the age of 15. I probably shouldn't tell your viewers that, but I didn't have a license. But I was driving a truck making motorcycle deliveries locally. And when I turned 17, my uncle turned me loose on the island of Manhattan. He sent me down a Long Island Expressway into Manhattan. He told me to go up to 130th Street and Park Avenue. In 1981, that was the center point in Harlem. And Harlem back then, you know, this is when Howard Cosell was telling people, ladies and gentlemen, the Bronx is burning.
Right.
Okay, it was a blighted area. Ronald Reagan campaigned in Harlem in August of 1980. And it was a blighted area with boarded up buildings. So I got there to deliver a motorcycle with no BlackBerry or cell phone, and I did have a Doberman with me. And so when I got out of the car, I had the Doberman. I was looking for the guy to sell the bike to. He came to visit me with $369. The problem was my uncle wanted me to collect $400. Well, I was making $3 an hour at the time, so that was a full day's pay for me. I told the guy, no way. He came back 15 minutes later with a bag of coins. He must have broken into a soda machine or something like that. I left Harlem that night freezing with $369 and $31 in nickels, dimes, and quarters and drove the truck back with the Doberman. But, you know, not a lot of guys on Wall Street probably grew up like that, but I thought it was worthwhile sharing that with some of the readers.
And I have a buddy, Gary Carlo, who worked at the 2-8 and the 3-0, and so he tells me these
right,
art
right.
stories about that's Central Harlem, for those of you who don't know. That's not Cotton Club on the West Side. That is Central
yeah.
Harlem, which was a war zone.
Well, you know, this is one of the things my uncle did to every one of us. Okay, you turned 17, he took you to Harlem. by yourself. It was a rite of passage for him. And you know, I'll tell you what, we learned a lot from those experiences. I do write in the book that, you know, just staying calm. The truth of the matter was I wasn't in danger. The people I met were actually reasonably friendly. It just that the atmosphere was uninviting. And if you go back to that area today, Michael, that area is in way better shape today. It's a little bit more gentrified. There's a lot less crime. And it's really a tribute to the human spirit and human progress. 29 years later, that place is fairly livable and very nice.